Go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we started out calling it The God of Increase, and then the Lord gave me the title. And so we changed it to Foundational Principles of Increase. And if this is the first time you're with us, since we've been doing it, it's available online. If you go on our website and go to the Word Supply, all of the previous messages, it won't cost you anything. There's no charge. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's just there. You can watch it, listen to it, download it. And I believe it's worth your time, because faith comes when you hear the anointed word. And this is an area where there is so much wrong thinking. In the church, so much wrong thinking. And it's because the enemy, our adversary, he does not want us to have any resources to preach the gospel, to, you know, build the kingdom of God. And so, so many have been convinced that it's wrong to have anything, especially anything nice or anything expensive. And so what people have done is they have mixed some things up without realizing it. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, he tells of experiences he had with the head of the church, where he visions that he saw the head of the church. And anytime you hear about a vision or a dream, you shouldn't just believe everything somebody says. You should check it out, first of all, by the Bible, and then also by the witness that you have in your own spirit. You have, if you're born again, you got the author of the book living inside you. And he knows what he said in the book, right? And he said, when the master was teaching him about how to be led by the Spirit, and that little book came out of that, that one of the things he said to him, he said, if you'll learn to follow my Spirit, I'll make you rich. Now see, that sounds strange to a lot of people. A lot of folks wouldn't believe that the Lord would actually say that. And he said the Lord, when he heard that, that was different from anything he had heard in his group or denomination. And he said the Lord knew his thoughts. And he said, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to their being covetous. Right. Yeah. Is everybody listening? Yeah. This is the big thing. And what has happened, though, is people have changed it and said that money's the problem. You'll even hear people misquote the Bible and say, well, money is the root of all evil. But that's not what the Scripture said. It says the love of money. People say, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not at all the same thing. You can have nothing and love money. Sit around and dream about it all the time and lust after it and long after it and have none. Well, if you can long after it and have none, it's possible you could have a lot and not love it.
Yes.
Right? And so we need to get it right. It's not the money and things that's the problem. It's our heart. It's what's priority to us. It's what we love or what we don't. So in 1 Corinthians 3, if you'll notice, 1 Corinthians 3, our main text, he had said in verse 6, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, neither he that plants anything or he that waters, but God that gives the increase. What's God's will? Increase. Not decrease and not staying the same, but increase. Now what we saw in talking about foundational principles of increase is that there is much more to it than giving offerings. Some people have kind of left the impression that the biggest thing and the main thing is that you give. But there's much more to it than that. In fact, it's possible to work hard, multiple jobs all your life, and have nothing. A lot of people have done it. It's possible to give and not increase. People say, really? Yeah. Everything has to be done in faith. And with God, it's always about the heart. Always. Not just the external, not just the natural thing, but always. Everybody said out loud, with God,
with Him,
it's always
about the heart.
Always. Now, other people can't see what's in your heart. Other people, even those close to you, don't always know your motive or what's behind what you're doing or your desire. But God, who made you, He sees right down on the inside of you. You cannot hide anything from Him. He knows where you're coming from before you open your mouth. So never try to con Him. Don't play any games with Him. He won't even listen to you. If you're, you know, playing games. But he sees the heart. And in the giving of the Ten Commandments, like we talked about last week, I guess it was, the first commandment and the tenth commandment actually have a connection. The first commandment was, you shall have no other gods before me. How many? No other gods. And then the last commandment talked about, you'll not covet your neighbor's wife or house or field or employee or donkey or cow or anything that's your neighbor's. Why would those have a connection? Because both in Colossians and in Ephesians, we're told that covetousness is idolatry. It's worshiping another god. And covetousness is a big problem. Don't underestimate love for money and things, including church-going people. Money's a deal. Y'all are too quiet. Now, if I say something that's a little too close to home, don't just clam up, because then everybody will know it's you. Just be cool. Look straight ahead and go, amen, Brother Keith. You know, somebody needs that, right? And then when you get home by yourself, you can fall across the bed and go, oh, God, I need to repent. But here in church, just be cool. Be cool. Covetousness is an issue.
Yes, it is.
It's a big issue. Everywhere. All over the place. Why, you know, we've been criticized, judged, persecuted over money. More, I'm talking about myself, Phyllis, the churches, the ministry, more than any other thing. We've had a lot of ugly letters written and that kind of thing. Why? You know, I often wondered that years ago. I thought, you know, obviously a lot of these people, they don't know us. And why would they care? This money's not coming out of their pocket. We weren't asking them for anything.
Yeah, that's right.
So why do they care? Why is it such a big deal to them? And from what the Master has said in the Word, I now know. Why? And do you know why it's such a deal? Because they care too much about money. They do. They're telling off on themselves. If they didn't care about money, they wouldn't care what you had or what you were doing or weren't doing. And what we saw in the first part of our series here is that when that woman took that alabaster box of ointment and she broke it on Jesus, and Judas, he said, ah, what a waste. This could have been sold for X amount and given to the poor. Have you ever heard that before? That could have been given to the poor. When you hear that, they're telling off on themselves. If somebody wants to push you about that, stop them and go, what poor? Which poor? What do they need? What's going on? And the next question is, how much are you going to do? See, people are hypocrites. They just want to judge. They just want to find fault. They don't want to do something. And the Bible never told us that we had to give everything to the poor. We should do something, but not everything. How can the poor help the poor? See, you hear how quiet it gets. People go, ooh, I don't know. Why? Because I'm kicking a holy cow. Did you hear it? It's going, moo. Well, let's don't just kick it. Let's put her down. Well, no, I'm serious. Do you know much of the church is more in agreement with Judas Iscariot on these things than they are with Jesus, the head of the church? They are. Because you'll hear people say, oh, that could have been given to the poor. Do you know how much poor that would have helped? That is a quote from the Bible. But not from Jesus. Yes. It's from Judas. Yes. Who hours later went and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Right. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was a traitor. And that's how folks in that frame of mind talk. Judging. But what we saw was he's saying it was wasted on Jesus. It was wasted on the ministry. It was wasted on the word. And the poor are more important, he was saying, than that. Well, that's not true. And one of the things the Bible said Jesus was anointed to do was preach the gospel to the poor. Not just give money. They did. They did some things they gave. But preach the good news. What's the good news to the poor? I tell you what it's not. What the gospel is not. It's that, hey, my Christians that have something are going to take care of you. They're going to be your provider for the rest of your... No. We all got the same God. The same unlimited El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. God never intended that anybody be dependent on another man or woman for everything the rest of their life. No, that's not the good news. The good news is that Jesus not only took our sins and was judged in our place, he took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. And by his stripes we were healed. And though he was so very rich, he became poor for your sakes so you could be poor too. Now you're laughing, but that's what so many people believe. Hey, Jesus was poor and so should you be. No. He became poor so that we might be made rich. So it's entirely accurate what Brother Hagin said. The Lord told him, he said, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. Well, obviously he's not, or he wouldn't have become poor, so he could be. Right? But he said, I am opposed to them being covetous. Covetous. And so this is the thing. It's not the things. It's not the money. That's not what we should be down on. We should be focused on what is covetousness and how can I get free from it. It's not for us to judge other people, but to judge ourselves. Are you okay?
Yes.
Go with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, and I'll read another couple of passages on our way. Well, I tell you what. Go to Psalm 73. I want you to let your eyes rest on that one, and then Mark 12. Psalm 73, then we're going to Mark 12. In Deuteronomy, I'm giving you this. You don't look it up, but he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They can put it on the screen, 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. When you talk about covetousness, you have to talk about desire. And again, with him, it's always about the heart. Not about the outside, not about the things, not about the money, not about the stuff. It's about your heart.
That's right.
And he is unwilling. He said, I'm a jealous God.
That's right. That's
right. He is unwilling to share a spot of any equal desire of anything else. That you want anybody or anything more than you do him is not okay with him. It shouldn't be okay with you. Now, we've all wanted something. Huh? Don't look so sanctimonious. And I'm talking about things. Stuff. Things. I told you, what was it last Sunday, about when I was a teenager trying to make a deal with God about getting a motorcycle. I wanted that motorbike. And anyway, whether you're 13 or 93, you can want things. And our good God, the Bible says, he gives us richly all things, even to enjoy. But, and it's a big one, he can't give you anything that you want more than you do him. He can't. Because that would hurt you. That would take you away from him. He can't do that. He won't hurt you. And so, there are times in our life when we've wanted something too much. And the only solution, before he could add it to you, if he wants to, is for you to die to it. And that's not pleasant. And your flesh will cry. I need it so bad. Oh. But we need to grow up and not be whiny babies. We need to grow up and realize that everything down here is so very, very temporary.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, everything down here, every building, every clothing item, every vehicle, everything down here is on its way out.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Everything down here. I mean, the most expensive stuff there is, it's like a gallon of milk. It's got a date on it. Right? It's wearing out. It's rusting. It's rotting. And the Bible tells us that everything down here, the very elements of the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. And that you're not going to take anything with you. Our good stuff is actually in heaven. Huh? The stuff that lasts forever. The best stuff. So why get overly hung up on this stuff?
Right.
It's a mistake. It's a foolish thing. But people do it every day. Psalm 73, are you there? Verse 25. If you're not familiar with this one especially, mark it. Don't let this get away from you. He said, Psalm 73, 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Don't you like this?
Yes.
Listen to the Living Bible. He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire no one on earth as much as you. Go ahead, say it out loud. Whom have I in heaven? But you. Now, if you've lived any length of time and you got family and relatives that are believers, then you got family in heaven. Right? You got people you love. that are there.
Yes.
But you don't love them more than you love him.
Yes.
Is that right or not? Come on.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
No? And then he said, and I desire no one on earth as much as you. The New Living says a similar thing. The NLT, New Living. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth.
Amen.
Go ahead, say it out loud. Lord,
I desire you more
than anything on earth. I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland say this, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. Stuck with me. He was talking about getting some kind of material thing. But he stopped and he said, but now, you know, I just want what the Lord wants on this. And then he paused. He said, if I can't get it with my faith, I don't want it in my house. What's he saying? Well, you know, the Bible said whatever is not of faith is sin. And so if it's not something that God wants for us, even though your flesh thought you wanted it, have enough sense to know he's smarter than you are. Is that right? And say, Lord, and I'm telling you, if he says, no, I don't want that for you, don't get discouraged. He's got something better. I'm telling you, he's got something better, much better and bigger in mind. Oh, hallelujah. About preached myself happy. I told you about how Phyllis, my wife and myself, we left our little home and all we had was a little used mobile home, and I had a hot rod and a fast motorcycle and a couple of little things. And looking back now, it's pitifully small, but it's all we had. So it's all you got. And it looks big enough to you at the time. And the Lord dealt with us to leave it, walk away from it, and go halfway across the country and go to Bible school and go into the ministry. That was a big step for us. Big step. Because we were leaving family. We were leaving heritage. My granddad and dad wanted to leave me the land that my great-great-granddad had gotten and kept in the family and our little stuff. And I liked cars and fast motorcycles, and I had spent all my money on that. I left it sitting in the shed. I left one of them sitting out in the yard. Eventually sold it for parts. Not that I didn't care about it. It's I cared about it too much. Come on, y'all listening to me. I had spent too much time on it. It was too big to me. I needed to walk away from it. And so for years, I didn't have a fast car or fast anything. And I had a little pickup with a little weak motor in it. And the light would change and you mad it and count to three and it leaves. And I was used to something that would shake the windows and scare babies when you went by. But what am I talking about? I needed to die to that. I needed to die to that. And it was about 10 years. And then the Lord began to let me know, you can have one of those if you want it. But then by then, we had already given and sown and sold. And it was like, freely you've received, freely give. I can let it go just as quick as it comes in. And I care more about what he wants than I do anything I have.
Yes.
Is this important?
Yes.
This is far more important
than
a car or a house or clothes or these things. But where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. People try to say, well, these things don't matter. Obviously, they do. Oh, they don't matter. You shouldn't talk about that, preacher, because those things, yeah, they don't matter. You just spend most of the prime of your life trying to make some money and things. Oh, it matters. It matters. And it's not that the Lord doesn't want you to have anything. He wants you to have more than you want. But he doesn't want you to want it more than you want him. And that's easy to say, but we've all wanted something. Sometimes, you know, people want to get married. So they're wanting a spouse. Okay, but you can't want that more than you want him.
That's right.
Somebody's wanting a job. They're wanting a profession. They're wanting a degree. They're wanting... Okay, but you should want him.
That's right.
Far more than any of that.
Yes.
And you know, parents sometimes tell their children incorrectly. They say, honey, son, daughter, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. When you grow up, you know, you're beautiful, you're handsome, you're smart, you can do it. That is not correct. That's not correct. I get it. You're trying to tell them you believe in them, and they need to have faith. But if Jesus is your Lord, he's already got a plan for you, what you're supposed to do and be. It's not up to you to decide what you want to be. It's up to us to discover. Seek God and find out what he has already chosen for us, because you can never be a full success in anything else. You'll never be happy and content seeking your own plan. That's why one of the first major principles of increase is Matthew 6:33. Put it on the screen. I mean, some know it, some don't. Matthew 6:33. Anybody remember what it says? What? Seek ye. Huh? After you've done everything else? See if you got something left over for the church. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things. You need some things in life. God wants you to have some things, but things must not be on the top of the list. Finding his will, finding his plan. Everybody said out loud again, Lord, I desire you more than anyone, more than anything, more than my own life. I seek your will, your plan, what pleases you. I trust you. I trust your plan more than anything I ever thought of. Hallelujah. And what happens as you grow in that, your the excessive desire for money and things dies. And your desire and love for God increases and grows. And that's what he said. Love the Lord your God. With what?
All
your heart. All your soul. All your mind. And all your strength. Hallelujah. Seek him, his plan, his things first and foremost. And then you don't have to chase after the dollar like the unsaved world does. He said, I will add all of that to you. I'll add it to you. Why? Not while you're seeking it, but while you're seeking him. Glory to God. Go to Mark 12, please. For time's sake, go to Matthew 10. It's all good, but I just know if I get to preaching on that, it's going to take a while. Matthew 10, 37. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 10, 37. The master said, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Is it okay to love your family equally or more than the Lord? It's not. You'll hear people say things like, well, my kids come first. Well, then God doesn't. That's just a fact. You know what I mean. No, you said what you mean. Don't play games. It's true. There's a lot of people. Their kids are their life. And they're hurting their kids with that. Because they're teaching them by precept and example to put themselves first instead of God. It's not right. It's not good. There's only one. First place. Only one. Number one. Top spot. Whose spot is that? Come on, help me out. Whose spot? The only one true living God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yeshua, the Master. He said, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's a strong phrase, but that's how he feels about it. And he's right. Isn't he right? We wouldn't exist without him. We wouldn't have a breath. We wouldn't have a thought in our brain. Right? Should he be first beyond question? He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Everybody should know about you. You're a good person. You love them. But don't make me pick between him and you.
That's right.
Between the Lord. Don't. Why? It won't take me long to decide.
Yeah.
I've already made up my mind. Don't make me pick.
That's right.
Between him and you.
Yeah. Yes,
why?
Right. Him.
Yeah. I don't even have to think about it. Yeah. Don't even have to talk about it. Right? Because I can't be any good to you without him. I'm not even me without him. I don't exist without him, nor do you either. Right? He said, he that doesn't take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You know, after Jesus had raised from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. You know, they ate fish and bread. And one of the things that he said in John 21... when they had dined, John 21:15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Notice the rest of that phrase. More than these. Do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He didn't just ask him that, did he? Do you love me what? More than these. Now that applied to more than one thing, I think. But you know, you got to remember, not too long before this, when the Lord told them he was leaving and they were upset about it, and one by one began to say, oh no, Lord, we will go with you. We will die with you. And he said, all of you is going to, you know, forsake me and leave me. And they said, no, we will not. And Peter was more vocal. He said, if I have to die with you and if all of them leave you, I will not. But he denied him when the pressure came. And so now this has particular meaning because he said he loved the Lord more than they did. And maybe more than the fishing and more than everything else, his former professions and all of that. But if anything is in competition with him, it's not okay with him.
Amen.
He said, do you love me more than these? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, then feed my lambs. Do what's important to me.
Amen.
And do you understand that's one of the reasons I'm standing up here talking right now? Because
yes.
He loves you. He loves me. And I told him I loved him. He said, feed my people.
Hallelujah.
Right? Hallelujah. That's his desire. That's my desire. And not just rhetoric, politics, social reform, my wild ideas, but the it is written, anointed word of God that'll build you up, make you strong, give you an inheritance. When the enemy tries to steal something for you, you'll be able to stand up and go, no, no, I know in whom I believed. I know who I am, what I have. No, you don't. Not in my house. I bind you. I shut you down in Jesus' name. You want to upset hell? You want to make them cuss? Do that. Do that. Bind them and shut them down. Oh, it makes them so mad because sometimes they've been planning stuff, scheming stuff for months, for years, and you can just stop it. You can just shut it right down. And there's nothing they can do about it. Nothing they can do about it. This is something you and I should do on a regular basis. I'm talking about daily. When you think of something or you see something's trying to hinder you, harass you, hold you up, hurt you somehow, don't just sit there and cry about it. Use the name of Jesus and bind it and shut it down. Stop it. Hallelujah. And that's not in my notes, but it is good anyway. Amen. Don't you think so? Praise God. Praise God. Go with me, if you would, to the sixth chapter of Matthew. We've been talking about that. I'll give you something else as before we get there. Put Genesis 3:6 on the screen, and you're going to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, well, I'll read it first. 19 says, treasure not up to yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. You see people, for instance, I mentioned to you that I enjoyed cars and motorbikes. My cousins were racers, and they could make stuff go fast, and that was a big thing to me. But, you know, it's going away. You see people I've seen guys try to fellowship with their cars. They're rubbing wax on it and talking to it. They love their car, and it will never love you back. It's steel and rubber and leather and plastic, and it will never love you back. And so the Lord dealt with me some years ago to stop using the word love in connection with any things. Don't use it. You hear people say, "Ooh, I love my new dress. I love my new suit. I love my house. I love my..." That's too strong a word. And the problem is, if you really do love it. Huh? Ooh, I love pizza. Well, that's too much. You can enjoy you some, but loving it is too much. Hmm? You should love God and love people and not stuff. You can use stuff. You can enjoy stuff, but do not love it. It's not just a matter of what word to use. People do love stuff. They do. They fight each other over it. They lie over it. There are people that will shoot you for $20. They love it. They want it. They crave it. They covet it. And this is the thing that the Scripture speaks against. Not the money, but the love for it. And so he goes on to say, treasure up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not disfigure, where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's also where your heart is. So does it matter? Treasure. It's a heart treasure connection. It is. And what he's saying, just like what Colossians said, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Like we said before, your good stuff is over there. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And so if people, you know, especially as people get older sometimes, you see people make some foolish choices and mess up their life because they get afraid that they're going to miss out on something. And that they're getting older and their life is going by, and I haven't done this and I don't have this, and so I got to get it, you know, while I can or before I'm too old. That's foolishness. That's acting like this life is all there is. And it's not true. And a lot of the stuff, even if you did miss out on a couple of things down here, I assure you, later on, you will not even think about it. You will not care because of what you'll be involved with then. No. And if you're following the Lord, He loves you. You're not going to miss out on any important thing. That's right. You can count on it. Don't you be concerned about it. Live your life without cares and fear and anxiety about tomorrow. Why? Trusting in how much God loves you. Right? And if there's something I thought I wanted and I didn't get it down here, well, no big deal. I'll get it even bigger and better later on. Right? And like we've already been talking, I don't want anything that He's not pleased with, that He doesn't want me to have. And so He goes on to say, verse 24, none is able to serve two lords or two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the one, he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which mammon is money and things personified. You cannot serve both. There'll be a pull on you. And the Lord gave me this phrase some years ago. He said, if you want it too much, you'll go too far. What does that mean? If you want it more than you should and you crave it too much, you'll compromise. That's when people lie. That's when they steal. That's when they hide things. Wanting it too much. Now, where did I ask you to go? Or talk about going? Yeah, Genesis. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 3. In the very beginning, this is where our parents went wrong. Genesis 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be what? To be what?
Desired.
Say it again, what?
Desired.
To make one wise, she took of the fruit that God commanded them not to partake of. And it's not because she made a mistake. Oops, I forgot. Uh-uh. No. They were crystal clear about what to do and not to do. She made a choice. Why? Why? She wanted something else more than she wanted to please God. And Adam made the same kind of choice, following her. They wanted, the devil sold them a bill of goods, that they could be so much more. They could be gods. Well, they already were. The sons of God. They'd be so wise. They already were. And they had a direct line and connection to all knowledge and all wisdom. What would have happened over the next centuries just walking with God? The devil lied to them. And that's how he does it. Hold your place there and put up on the screen James. James, the first chapter. This is how this works. James 1 and verse 12. I'm going to read this to you from the complete Jewish Bible. He said, How blessed is the man that perseveres through temptation. Isn't that what was happening with Eve there? Temptation. You have to persevere through it. Is it always easy? If it was all easy, there would be no perseverance required. You got to stand against it and keep standing against it. But how do you do that? The issue here is desire. And desire is the great motivator. It's the great motivator. He said, after he's passed the test, this is James 1:12, complete Jewish. He'll receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those that love Him. He goes on to say, no one being tempted should say, I'm being tempted by God. You know, a lot of people say something along that line. I don't know why God is doing this to me. I don't know why God's putting me through this. Huh? See, that's just different language to say, you know, he's putting me through this pressure. He's tempting me. It goes on to say, God cannot be tempted by evil. And God himself tempts no one. No, that's not God. Was it God tempting them to take of the forbidden fruit? No. He told them don't do it. Rather, each person, this is verse 14, is being tempted whenever he is dragged off and enticed by the bait of his own desire. Huh? Now see, you can't blame that on the devil. It's not his desire. It's yours. Right? So, he didn't put the desire there. All he did was dangle the carrot. Huh? See, people try to blame somebody else for everything. Who was it? Years ago, Flip Wilson? That kind of dates you, don't it? I see the young guys going, Flip who? He was a comedian. One of his favorite lines was, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Now you're laughing, but a lot of people in some form or fashion, but it's just not true. The devil cannot force you as a child of God to do something against your will. Aren't you glad? He can't. He cannot. Why? Because the greater one lives inside of you. Well, then, how come so many Christians are falling? Messing up. Messing up terribly. Desire. Desire. Can you want something, even though you're born again, child of God, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, tongue-talking believer, can you still want something you shouldn't want? Yeah. Absolutely. That's the issue. God did not make you a robot. He did not make you a puppet that he controls. You have, and I have, a completely free will. That's how he's made us. That's how we will always be. Now, there's always a risk. You make something like that, it can defy you. It can disobey you. It can rebel against you. And most of the population has. But not us.
No,
well, somebody say, not us.
Yes.
There's still a remnant in the earth.
Yes.
That willingly, gladly,
yes,
submits ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. Because we trust him. We love him and we trust him. But you still have desires. All of us have wanted something. And you've wanted something you shouldn't want. Oh, yeah. Now, this is part of where you look straight ahead. And you just go, amen, Brother Keith. Somebody needs to hear this. I did say all of us. All of us. And it's what happened with Adam and Eve. They wanted something they shouldn't want. That's not the only problem. Being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted is not failure. Jesus himself was tempted in all points, just like us, yet without sin. Why? It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you give in to it, when you yield to it, when you act on it. And so all of us from time to time are going to experience a pull. Because, you know, for one thing, when you got born again, it wasn't this flesh that got born again. You still got the same body and the same flesh as Joe Sinner down the street that didn't get saved. Hmm? And your mind didn't just automatically think like God. You got to renew it. We're in the process of getting our mind renewed. So there will be things that come up. And if you've grown some in the Lord over a period of years, you'll look back and go, can't believe I was doing that right after I got saved. But you grew some and you went, I need to quit this. Or I need to change this one. Well, you were acting on the desires of the flesh and the unrenewed mind. Here's a great phrase the Lord gave me years ago. Our desires don't define us. Say it out loud. My desires don't define me. See, the devil has lied to so many people that because they had a desire, well, that's what I am. And I just need to be true to what I am. Are you kidding me? If I say I get mad at somebody, I got a desire to kill them. So I just need to be what I am. I'm obviously a murderer. And I just need to be me. You need to be you. And I need to act on my truth, and you need to act on your... That is junk, lies, flesh. No. All of us have had desires that are wrong. Help me out. What do you do with them? You should resist them, and instead of feeding them, starve them. And if you starve them, they'll get weaker. If you feed them, they'll get stronger. And if you keep feeding the wrong desire, it will torment you. It'll vex you. And if it's strong and it just keeps on your mind night and day, that's not by accident. It's because you have looked at things and listened to things and talked about things on that desire, and you have fed it until it has got so strong until it's dominating your thinking. Good news is you can starve it too. I said you can starve it if you'll cut off anything that feeds that. It doesn't change necessarily overnight, but in a few days, you can go an hour or two and not think about it. In a few weeks, you'll go days and not think about it. In a few months, you won't think about it twice a year. Are you with me? Why? Because it was starved. Desires are a big deal. Very big deal. And your desire is the great motivator. And instead of just being down on it, you want to feed the right things. Do you remember the Lord said, covet earnestly the best gifts of the Spirit? You remember that? Covet to prophesy. That's a strong word. Well, I thought covetous was wrong. No, coveting the wrong thing is wrong. We're supposed to covet God. Covet His presence. Covet the moon. What does that mean? You think about it all the time. Huh? What do you think about? The move of God, the glory of God, the manifestations of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits and gifts of healings and workings of miracles and amazing faith and prophecy and tongues and interpretation. And we're talking about a move of God. One of the reasons why the church at large has not had it, don't want it. Don't want it enough. Don't want it enough even to pray. You know? Got time to watch 6 hours of TV. But then it's just bedtime. No desire for God. No hunger for God. But if you feed these right desires, they'll get stronger until they motivate you. And they won't torment you. They'll just move you closer to God and move you more into His things. And you'll begin to experience miracles. And it just gets better and better. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. He said each person is tempted. This is James 1:14. When they're dragged off and enticed by the bait of his own desire. And then, when it's conceived, desire gives birth to sin. See, it's like a muddy creek bank, right? You keep messing around, huh?
Yeah.
Same old muddy creek bank.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, curse splash.
Right.
Right? You slipped in. It's like the little boy that kept falling out of the bed. And he fell out of the bed and cried. His mom came in and said, "Son, what happened to you?" He said, "I guessed I stayed too close to where I got in at." Talking about the bed. Well, I guessed a lot of Christians stayed too close to the edge. Right, when they got saved, instead of moving on into the middle of the bed, right? Then if you roll over a little bit, you're still in the bed. But when desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin's fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't you like that passage in Psalm 73? Put that up again. We'll close with that. Psalm 73. I want us to say it again. I want us to stir ourselves up. You know, 1 John 2 said, "Don't love the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life." He said, all those things and the desires for them, they are passing away. They'll all soon be no more. Set your affection on things above, the things that last, the things that are forever, the things that are truly good and truly pure. And you don't have to make any excuses or apologies or hide that you're involved in it, because it's just good.
Yes.
Psalm 73, did you find that? What was that? "Whom have I in heaven but you?" I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Are you? Huh? I'm looking forward. I want to talk to Paul. I want to talk to Abraham. How many think you could have some interesting conversations? Elijah, Isaiah, the list goes on. But those are not number one on my list of who I want to see. Huh? Come on, are y'all with me on that?
Yeah.
Whom have I in heaven beside him more than I want to see? The Alpha and the Omega. I want to see the glorified head of the church. I want to see him. I would like a hug. You too? How many think a Jesus hug is off the chart? Yeah, I mean, would you think, you just, dear me, you hug him, you may look down and be 1,000 miles off the ground. You may think, whoo, now this is a hug. And I want to see the Father. Don't you? Before the throne of glory, I want to see him. Well, even though I'm not there yet, the rest of the verse goes on to say what? And there is none on earth. He's talking about heaven and earth. There's none on earth that I desire beside thee. Like we said, the Living Bible said, I desire no one on earth as much as you are the new living. I desire you more than anything on earth. Yes, he's a good God. Yes, he'll add all these things to you. Yes, he gives us richly all things to enjoy, but he does not want you having anything that you think about more than him, you want more than him, you pursue more than him. I told you about I liked cars and stuff. Not that we barely had any money, but every extra thing I had, I put it on my hot rod. And about 10 years later, I got a used Corvette. after I'd been in the ministry. And I wasn't thinking about it too much, but I cleaned it too much. You know, I wouldn't let it get dusty. And I was out there one day, I was out there cleaning it for the nth time. And the Lord interrupted me. He said, if you don't quit spending so much time with this, I'm going to regret I let you have it. I dropped the rag. Is that right? Dropped the rag and walked away. He didn't mind me having it, but again, I'm slipping back into giving it too much time. He said, no. He said, I'll help you with that. And thankfully, he did. He helped me with somebody that would help me to keep it clean while I pursued something else in ministry. You understand what I'm talking about? And so no matter where you are in life, there's always this thing that you need to, when he puts his finger on it and you catch yourself, I've been thinking too much about that. I've been wanting that too much. I need to get that off my mind, right? And once you do, and focusing on seeking the kingdom, then he's able to add it to you. Stand on your feet, everyone. Oh, somebody say, praise God. Are you as thankful as I am that the Lord gave us this direction about these, you know, main principles of increase? I that's not what I set out to do. And he gave it to us. And this is number two in our study, worship. We don't worship anything but him. So lift up your hands. Lift up your heart. Say, my great Father God, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. There is no one in heaven I care more about than you. And there is nothing on earth that I desire more than you. You are my everything. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Lift up your praise. Lift up your thanks. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.